CinemaJaw is brought to you by Jackbox Games. Get five hilarious party games in the Jackbox Party Pack from the creators of You Don't Know Jack, now on Xbox One, PS3, PS4, Steam, and more. Go to jackboxgames.com for more info, and we thank them for their support. You're listening to CinemaJaw, the greatest movies podcast ever, recorded on Division Street in Chicago. My name is Matt Kay, and with me is...
Rye, the movie guy, and sitting alongside us, as always, is our engineer and local filmmaker, Elias Rodriguez.
Hindeyes.
How's it going, Jawheads?
Matt, this week on CinemaJaw, we look behind the camera for a certain kind of director, female directors.
Yeah, man. I like tackling this topic. It's a good one.
It is, and I'm going to call you out right off the bat. I came up with this... subject. I said, how about female directors?
Were you patting yourself on the back
no,
or something?
Because you know what you actually wrote back on the text was, is there enough?
That's not what I
that
wrote.
That is what you said. Whoa. And boy, when I ended up looking at the research here, Matt, it's quite a list. I got a great top five.
Well, I'm glad for you, Rye. Good for you.
We are.
I'll get you back for that comment.
Okay, there you go. We are covering this topic because we have a great guest who's going to be joining us. President of Women in Film here in Chicago, Carrie Hunter, is going to be joining us.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to her.
Can't wait. Besides that, we got a whole lot more going on, don't we?
Oh, yes. We are going eye for an eye on Money Monster.
And we have a review of The Invitation.
Ah, that's a good one.
Mm,
yeah.
Excited.
Yeah, a little gem there. And it's funny, too. Money Monster's coming out, also directed by Jodie Foster.
Look See how this. That works?
Well, tying it all in. But one thing that has me a little worried is... Julia Roberts is in this film. And,
oh, yeah.
And
love
since,
her.
What?
Yeah.
You just gave love to Elijah Wood last week, and I called you out for it. Oh, I love
What's
Elijah Wood.
What's wrong with Elijah Wood?
Don't get me started.
Okay.
But you can't love Julia Roberts. She's
yeah,
so overrated. Come on.
No.
Oh, we'll get Carrie's opinion. I guarantee she sides with me that Julia Roberts is overrated.
All right. So then is this the
Cinema War? Right there.
All right. It's on.
And in honor of Money Monster, we will be playing Money Movie Trivia.
Okay.
Yourself versus Carrie. Think of movies with money in the title.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah, sounds like fun.
Yeah. It is a jam-packed jaw, as always. So without further ado, we bring in our guest. She is president of Women in Film here in Chicago. Carrie Hunter, welcome to CinemaJaw.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Let's take it from the very top. First of all, what I meant when I said, are there enough, is I didn't know enough off the top of my head. I'm very ashamed of that.
I'm ashamed of it, too. It's my same problem.
I mean, okay, so that's what I was about to ask. Take it from the 10,000-foot view. What does Women in Film Chicago do?
Women in Film Chicago is part of an international organization. We have about 12,000 members dedicated to advancing women in their professional development and achievement in all areas of film and on-screen media. Women in Film Chicago is one of the 37 chapters of the international organization. We're dedicated to helping women advance their careers and provide that networking opportunities that women just don't seem to have in the industry.
Yeah. And it's interesting because we were talking right before we started recording that me and Matt, when we started CinemaJaw, had a very difficult time getting women guests on the show. Mm-hmm. And we don't know exactly why that was. Lately, as we're mentioning, we're on a roll here. As you said, something four of the last six guests have been females,
yeah,
which is great. But why do you think that is? That it seems to be a male-driven workforce
industry.
When it comes to industry, when it comes to movies?
Honestly, I don't know why it's a male-driven workforce. Maybe it's because that's the way it started. As far as women joining the conversation, I think it's because of the national attention that's come to the pay differences and females in Hollywood speaking out against the inequality in the industry.
Right.
And I think that's drawing more attention. And with that national attention is coming females wanting to drive the conversation and be a part of it and understanding if we're not engaging in the conversation, we're not heard, period.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's paying attention to it.
Sure.
So maybe that's why.
Yeah, it's interesting. And we have a great community, I think, overall, a film community with IFP. And there's a lot of great things going on and women in film just being, one of them. Do you guys network with these other organizations such as IFP? Or
We're working on building our inner Chicago organizations that I wouldn't say joining forces, but working together and providing programming that's unique to each of our independent circuits.
And Matt, you may not know this about me, but one of our friends and former guest on the show a couple of times, Kathy Byrne, I actually reached out to her one time wanting to get more involved in, you know, the film community here.
Sure.
And she had recommended volunteering for Women in Film. And it just so happened you guys had like a fundraiser coming up at that time. And so I did something with the auction. I can't remember, but I, you know, worked the event. So you guys do some type of events throughout the year to raise money that people can come to, correct?
Our big event of the year are the Focus Awards. And we just held those in January this year. And next year, we're looking to hold those in February. It's our fundraising event for the year. And we highlight professional women in the Chicago scene and nationally women from Chicago that are putting Chicago on the map.
Yeah.
With an award, but we also do like a silent auction or this year we did a wine poll to try and raise funds.
Is it always in January? Because that sounds like a fun event.
We have decided that we're going to put our event in February from now on and let January be our kickoff with an open house unveiling the season of topics, etc. And then let Focus fall in February.
Nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so for the women listening to this out here that may want to get involved with women in film, it's not just for directors necessarily. It can be anybody working as far as writers, actors, and so forth.
Producers.
Yeah, anybody involved in the film and television industry, if it's people that are involved in crew, directors, writers, costumers, makeup, artists, graphic designers, editors, any aspect of the film industry, Women in Film is for you. To talk with working professional women, find women that they want to mentor or have mentor them and build relationships with women in the industry, start conversations. That's what we're here to do.
It's wonderful, isn't it, Matt?
Yeah.
That's what we do here on Cinema Jaw a little bit, right? We talk film. We get the conversation rolling.
I agree. Carrie, actually, I wanted to ask you about 2015, at least maybe from the layman's perspective, seemed like kind of a banner year for women in film, at least in the big summer tentpole blockbuster movies. I mean, we had Rey in Star Wars, and we had, what was Charlize Theron's character in Mad Max's name?
Furiosa.
Furiosa. Thanks, Elias. Inside Out, another great example. So, I mean, was that a year you guys kind of looked to as like a success and we want more of that in 2016 going forward?
Absolutely.
I mean, it was an awesome definitely year,
more,
right?
Yeah, definitely more win. But speaking of the Star Wars issue, Rey in the film, a lead female character can't get endorsement from, what was it, Hasbro that put out the action figures?
Well, this is news to me. What happened?
She was excluded from it.
Get out of town.
Because she was considered a spoiler. But when have you heard not releasing the main character as a spoiler when it pertains to men? But as a girl lead, that seems to be...
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I actually think that the effort there wasn't... It depends on where it was coming from. Because how many times is a movie plot ruined by the action figures? Like in Avengers, we knew the Vision was going to be there because his action figure was on the shelf like 3 months before the movie came out. So that's interesting. You think there was more at work there, huh?
Yeah. How would releasing Rey have ruined?
Well, there must have been a huge backlash, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure.
Good.
Yeah.
I think Darth Vader was in it, and he wasn't even a freaking character in the movie.
Crazy.
His destroyed mask. I mean...
But I had read a great article, I think it was in Entertainment Weekly, perhaps, about the power that Rey had around the world, especially in, you know, societies where women don't quite have all the rights that men do in some of these countries, to be able to go see a strong female lead of quite possibly the biggest movie of all time was huge, you know? So definitely it's a step in the right direction. We just got to work on the action figures.
Yeah. Get with it, Hasbro. Jeez.
Yeah.
Now, for the listeners that want to go check out more about women in film, where's the best place to do so online, Carrie?
You want to go to www.wifchicago.net. That's our website, wifchicago.net.
There it is.
Boom.
Yeah. How about yourself? Are you on Twitter as well?
No. I want to say yes, but I'm not engaged in Twitter. I am not computer savvy, so mm-hmm. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, you're on a podcast. You got a laptop. You're doing fine. You're more computer savvy than Rye is. Anyway. Oh,
I'm not that great.
What is that, a Kindle? I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, hey, I got my notes on here. All right. Works for me, buddy.
All right.
Leave it alone. All right, Jawheads, definitely check out Women in Film. It's a great organization. We're very excited to have Carrie here. She has her top five favorite women directors, so it's going to be a fun show here. Now, we like to end all of our guest interviews with some silly cinema cues, we call them. Get to know the guests through the eye of cinema. Elias, what do you got?
Carrie, so we talked about all the strong female leads from last year. So if you could take the place of Rey or Furiosa, who would it be and why?
Rey, Star Wars style.
Yeah.
We'll give her a bell for that one.
I'm wearing my Star Wars shirt.
Nice.
It's close enough to May 4th to say May the 4th be with you.
May
there
the
you
4th.
Go.
Oh, totally.
Okay.
I almost wore my Star Wars socks tonight
wow.
because of that.
Next question. So we are going eye for an eye on Money Monster. If you had to be held hostage with one celebrity, who would it be?
By one celebrity or with one celebrity?
With one celebrity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
Guy Pearce.
Nice. Give another bell. Same answer I would have.
I'm really curious. I love Guy Pearce, by the way. Memento is one of my favorites of all time.
Me too.
Why in particular?
Memento.
Yeah.
Pretty
okay.
much like that seals it for me.
Nice.
Did you like Lawless? Just throwing that out.
I can't tell you that I know it. I'm sorry about that.
You should watch it.
You shouldn't watch it.
See,
no.
It's
garbage.
Guy Pearce and not Michael Shannon. Help
Shia
me out.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, yes. But who's the Tom Hardy?
Okay.
It's fantastic.
It's
we can talk about it later.
It's okay. Definitely not fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Don't say fantastic
it's
and Lawless.
Fantastic.
It's not met. Don't steer the listeners
I put a period after the fan and a period after the tastic.
Wow. All right.
Two capitals in that
right.
word.
I can't go on with this conversation. Anything else in the
No,
that's
all right.
It's beautiful. All right. So like I say, she will be sitting in on this entire jaw. She has her top five. It brings us to a segment called Eye for an Eye, Interest or Ignore.
Eye for an Eye, Money Monster. In the real-time high-stakes thriller Money Monster, George Clooney and Julia Roberts star as a financial TV host, Lee Gates, and his producer, Patty, who are put in an extreme situation when an irate investor who has lost everything forcefully takes over their studio. In addition to Clooney and Roberts, the film also stars Jack O'Connell and Dominic West. The film is directed by Jodie Foster, and we throw it over to Rye. Interested or ignore?
Matt, you had mentioned that you saw the trailer and you almost laughed at the concept.
Yeah.
I have the totally different reaction. Number one, I love Jodie Foster, and I'm glad to see her directing. I mean, she's one of my actually all-time favorite actresses and now turned director, so I'm very excited for that. I really do not like Horseface Roberts here. You know how I feel about Julia. And I like the concept, though, of this idea of what is going on with the stock market. Where is this money going? And you got these guys telling you this and that, sell, buy, and they don't know what the hell they're talking about. I'm actually interested to see where this movie goes.
The trailer looked like a steaming pile of garbage. It's like, how many times do we have to hear this story? It's like John Q all over again. Like, they take the hostage in order to, you know, rectify whatever thing is bugging them. It's crap. And Clooney and Roberts, frankly, looked really wooden in the trailer. So uninterested in this movie, I couldn't be less interested.
Wow. Wow. We throw it over to Carrie. Interested or ignore on Money Monster?
I would ignore.
Wow.
Oh, No, it's already been done. On TV, on a daily basis, done.
Done.
And it's just not interesting.
Agreed.
One thing I do fear is I hate when they're friends on screen from off screen, like Julia Roberts and George Clooney. Always bothers me, but
I love Jodie Foster. I just wonder what the hell is she doing on this project?
Yeah, what do you mean she's directing? Elias, what do you think of the Money Monster?
You know, Matt Kay, you asked how many times we need to see the story until the middle class gets what they're due. I say that from the Jawbox, and I'm lower middle class, so but no, I'm ignoring this movie. It does. The trailer looks bad.
Wow. Three ignores, one interested. As I mentioned, Jodie Foster directing it. If we can go really quick, round robin, maybe this would be a good tweet to throw out to the listeners.
Sure.
What's your favorite Jodie Foster film, Matt?
I was just wondering if it was on my list. It's not, but my favorite Jodie Foster film is Little Man Tate.
Oh, okay. It doesn't have to be that she directed or starred in.
Oh,
so, yeah,
well,
either or.
I got to say Taxi Driver then.
Ah,
I mean, yeah, that's a huge film.
Carrie, you got a favorite?
Oh, I'm embarrassed for this, but no.
You
don't do it.
Yeah. He does.
All right. I'm so sorry, but yeah.
Ryan does a pretty wicked Nell impersonation.
My name Nell.
like, what?
Oh, man.
No, she was intense in that, performance-wise. I was blown away by the performance, so.
And I always talk on the show how much I love Contact, where she plays the scientist and Matthew McConaughey's in it. And it's really a thought-provoking type of movie, one of my favorite sci-fis. So I'd throw Contact out there. We just went round robin. No one mentioned Silence of the Lambs.
I know. I was thinking that, too.
Yeah, right.
Crazy. Right.
Well, we'll throw that. Hopefully somebody will respond
by
the break. So yep. Nice. All right, Matt. Speaking of new movies, there is a new film entitled The Invitation that has opened here in Chicago, I think only at the Music Box. So you're going to have to look for this one in the theaters. But it also, the great thing is, out on demand. And Matt checked it out.
God, this thing is so official.
Maybe they're overcompensating. It's kind of hard to call everybody up out of the blue after 2 years.
I'm so glad you're here. We've got a lot to talk about. So much to celebrate tonight. Each and every one of us is on a journey, and we feel that it's important to be on that journey with the people you love.
The movie The Invitation is about a dinner party gone horribly wrong. Our main character, Will, played by Logan Marshall Green, arrives to a party hosted by his ex-wife and her new husband. He has a dark history with his ex that involves a horrible accident that killed their young son. The ex-wife, played by Tammy Blanchard, has found solace in a pseudo-religious group called The Invitation. But is it a cult? Is something sinister afoot? And why are the hosts locking all the doors? I found this movie to be particularly well acted. All of the characters are very believable and enjoyable to watch. The creepy tone and the pacing of the film are awesome. I really like the use of a blur effect to show Will's mental state at any given moment in the movie. However, I think this is a case of the parts not being greater than the whole. The ending, which some may find haunting, left me rolling my eyes. Cliché. For some reason, this movie just didn't connect completely with me. Perhaps it's a failure of the writing, as this is a story we've seen before. I did enjoy it, but I didn't think it was amazing. This is a middle-of-the-roader, 2.5 Jaws.
Wow, 2.5 Jaws. Elias, is the date today May 3rd that we're recording this?
It is May 3rd.
May 3rd, mark it down. The Invitation is my favorite movie of 2016
Get
so far.
Out of here.
So far.
This from the guy who's interested in Money Monster.
The best film I have seen so far this year. And I'll say this, it's extremely unsettling, this whole idea of the cult. And I have never quite felt paranoia in a movie the way I did watching this little gem. I was so nervous for the main character, and this whole haunting backstory about their son's death was already haunting enough, but then it starts to get a little creepy, because I don't think you necessarily are on the same plane that you're thinking it's a cult right away. It takes about a halfway part of the movie where you start to have a sneaky feeling there's something a lot more sinister going on.
I didn't think so. And I think they try to leave room for, is this all just going on in his head and there's really nothing wrong here? But no, of course, we're watching a movie. There is something wrong. It's a horror movie.
No,
we know.
See, I didn't know. And I think that's what I liked about it so much. You ever have that feeling that, you know, sometimes you like leave a room and you think, are my coworkers talking about me? Or, you know, that kind of feeling where you have all of a sudden an idea that maybe people are doing something behind your back.
Oh, sure.
And that was what this film captured. You didn't know if it was just all in his head, if he was a little paranoid. At one point, they're about to drink wine at a table, and he basically knocks it out of one of the guest's hands, telling him, don't drink the wine. At that point, I thought he was crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on, man. Suspension of disbelief aside, I mean, where did you think the movie was going to go from there?
I wasn't sure.
Like, they all just, like, play party games, and it's the, you know, good night, it was fun.
Well, it could have all just been in his head. He could have turned into he being the crazy one.
Well,
you know
that's
what I mean?
True, I guess. Yeah, and that would have been a more interesting film.
And then too, you mentioned this ending where people, it's harrowing. I thought it was just phenomenal. I at the point that last scene just moved it up a whole notch for me. I loved the film already up until that point, and that final push comes in that last scene was just awesome. Loved it. 4 Jaws for The Invitation. A couple other pros that I wanted to mention was the sound design in the film. Starts right off the beginning when the film opens. There's that like sort of like loud sound of a car. It really helps build the tension in the film.
You know, the attention to detail I really liked was the hazard lights clicking. You know?
No
doubt.
You
could hear that in the soundtrack, and it was
Yep.
It added to it.
Also mentioned here that the acting is superb, and I loved when the Zodiac popped up. You know who I'm talking about here?
I do. You know what? I had a problem with that.
I like this guy, and I wanted to mention his name, John Carroll Lynch. He pops up as a character actor all the time
but
in films.
But usually comedic.
And here, no, not always comedic. The Zodiac.
Zodiac, yeah, but I mean, he took me out of it.
Oh, he did?
He did.
I think he's a creep, and he worked wonderful here for me.
The rest of the cast is largely unknown, and he was sort of like the anchor that was like, oh, this is a movie. You know, I didn't like him at all.
Worked for me. 4 Jaws for the invitation for Ride the Movie Guy.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know what movie you watched, man.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I'm highly recommending.
It was okay.
And you like Lawless. All right.
Fantastic.
Right. All right. Another should be noted. This was directed by a woman.
Karen Kusama? Kusama? Somewhere in there.
That's a name to write down and follow, because this movie was excellent. I can't wait to see what she does next.
Technically speaking, I think it was a very well-made movie. I'm just not a fan of the story.
All right. Well, it was directed by a woman. That is our topic this week, our top 5 movies directed by women. I had a blast with this list. How about yourself?
Tough to narrow down. Really tough to narrow down. I had fun.
Well, we'll see how Carrie does. She's getting a start this week with her number 5 pick of a film directed by a woman. Hit us.
All right, my number 5 was Desperately Seeking Susan.
Bye. I'm so glad you picked this.
Nice. Oh, really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Who directed it?
Susan Seidelman? I'm not quite sure how you would say her name, honestly.
I had it on VHS. I watched it, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 times.
Really?
Yeah.
I've only seen it once. I remember liking it when I was younger.
Epic 80s.
Yeah.
Totally, I mean, 80s.
Yeah.
That's when Madonna could do no wrong.
Never.
Right? I know. Yeah.
You know, I think
she became an idol, and right, like with the making of this film, I think this was her first one. Her albums were coming out, and she was just becoming mainstream. Mm-hmm. I mean, such a career launcher for her.
It was great soundtrack too. It was, yeah, nice pick.
Yep.
Swing it over to my number 5. How about that?
Yeah, go.
I'll let you finish up this week. You like it?
Yeah.
And at number 5, ooh, look at this. I got a documentary right off the bat, Matthew.
Uh-oh. I got a couple on my list.
All right. This one came out in 2012, directed by Sarah Polley. I'm speaking of the movie Stories We Tell. And this is quite simply one of the bravest documentaries I've ever seen. Sarah Polley, you probably best know her from her acting. She was in Go.
Oh, yeah.
And she turned director, and then there was this weird story about her family and a sort of a quote-unquote dark secret that her mom had an affair, and no one's really sure who Sarah Polley's father is. And she just finally tackled this difficult issue that she had in her life, and the way she finally coped with it was making this wonderful documentary, which I think would help a lot of people who are going through, you know, tough issue with your family or something like that. If you have not seen it, seek it out. Stories We Tell, one of my favorites.
That's a good one, man.
Yeah,
I like it.
That was my number 5. I don't know, Carrie, did you see that one by chance or no?
I haven't seen that one. Yeah. I'm putting it on my list right now to watch.
Oh, there you go.
All right, Matt, what do you got sitting at 5?
All right, at number 5, I have a movie that came out in 1991, as a matter of fact. Catherine Bigelow would go on to win the Oscar, be the first woman to win the Oscar for Best Director, but before she did that, she made Point Break. Am I stealing one of yours?
No, okay. No, you're not stealing one of mine, but Point Break is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Point Break. Yeah, okay, yes.
Yeah, it's funny because I think Catherine Bigelow is somebody that, because she went on to win the Oscar, became much more notable. And then you went back and sort of looked to see what she had previously done. At the time Point Break came out, I didn't know who Catherine Bigelow was.
Sure.
And it was a treat to look back and say, oh my God, she made that?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
How I feel too, yeah.
It's such one of my favorite action movies. It's on the short list of good Keanu Reeves movies. Just a fun movie. Short list. Patrick Swayze. Oh, my God.
And on a technical issue, I remember that chase scene that's by foot. Where
they go through the houses and stuff. Yeah.
I mean, since we're talking about directors, I mean, talk about camera work and, you know, the setup of that entire chase scene. I was always impressed with that. So.
Can't say for sure, but I would speculate that that was part of the inspiration for Hardcore Henry, or at least, you know, you can look to that as something that a predecessor.
Or even Jason Bourne. You always got these big chase scenes. And you go back to Point Break, and I think that's where a lot of it stemmed from, was just how exciting a foot chase could be.
Really ushered in the 90s, too.
It sure did. Great pick.
Thank you.
We swing it over to Carrie. What do you got sitting at number 4?
Number 4, I have Lost in Translation by Sofia Coppola. Directed by Sofia Coppola.
wonderful film, right?
Oh, I love it.
May even come up a little bit later as well. And I'll just say this right now. I think Sofia Coppola, as far as female directors, I got a list of directors. I'll go see pretty much all their work. You know, you got your Paul Thomas Anderson, your Woody Allen. There's certain guys that I love to go see. For me, Sofia Coppola is in that group. She puts out a new movie, I go see it. So, yeah, great pick. Swings it over to my number four. How can you do a list like this and not have a Penny Marshall movie listed on your list?
Or two.
Ooh. Or three. But I decided to pick one since it was women in film on a film that concentrated on women in baseball.
Oh!
A League of Their Own.
That's mine. That's totally.
You guys are crossing over a lot.
Totally.
I mean, one of the better baseball movies, we actually just replayed our baseball episode when we were on spring break, and I was listening to it, and I knew what we were going to bring up, A League of Their Own. And on top of that, I mean, it's such a great cast. Again, Madonna, for the second time, is brought up. This has to be a first. Has Madonna ever been brought up twice on a top five list?
No. In film?
That's crazy.
Never.
But Rosie O'Donnell,
who
Gina
directed
Davis,
Dick Tracy.
It was pretty fantastic. And Tom Hanks as the manager is just about as good as it gets.
He's fantastic.
It is.
I agree. Breakout role for him in a way. I mean, first time we sort of saw him go a little darker. So at number four, I have a documentary. This is probably my most recent film on the list from 2015, The Wolf Pack, directed by Crystal Moselle.
Wow. Yes. Deep pick here, Matthew.
Thank you.
Recommended this one, and I this was an oversight. I forgot about this one.
She was an intern on Frida and I think a few other documentaries she worked on, and then she just went for it. She sort of gained access to this family in New York and made one of the standout documentaries of 2015.
Yeah,
let's just go ahead and say the standout documentary.
The story behind this film is that this entire family, which was something like seven brothers or something crazy like that.
Yeah, a couple sisters too.
Yeah, never were allowed out of the house by the parents. And
right.
They've just basically lived in one apartment their entire life. And
true story.
And that's a true story.
Right.
It is pretty out there. Yeah, crazy.
It is. But uplifting at the same time.
It is.
It had a happy ending.
It is. And I remember, if you get the DVD for the listeners out there, there's some really good behind-the-scenes features
really?
On there. Yeah, about
cool.
her making it and stuff. So
Actually, can I borrow that? Do you own it?
I don't own it, but...
I got to rent it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, nice pick. Well, we are into our threes. Carrie, what do you got sitting there?
I have Boys Don't Cry by Kimberly Pierce.
This is another one we just talked about not too long ago.
Did we?
Yeah, when we were doing Boys Don't Cry. That's the one with Hilary Swank.
No.
Hilary Swank.
Oh, yeah,
correct,
yeah, exactly.
Won, yeah,
yes.
Best actress.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did it when we did our LGBT films.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, no doubt. I mean, who directed that?
Kimberly Pierce.
Kimberly Pierce.
Right.
Kind of look up what else she's done. Throw that in the job box, will you? Kimberly Pierce.
Will do.
Thanks.
So you like this one, huh?
I do. It's emotional, strong, and it has a vulnerability that I don't think was presented for the time period for the trans community. And it's powerful storytelling.
No doubt.
At its finest.
Yeah.
So.
No arguments here.
I agree. Great pick at number three. Swings it over to my number three. And every once in a while, the Academy Awards completely snubs somebody so bad that it actually angers me. And I know it's just an award show, but boy, did I get steamed on this one. And this was in 2014 when the Academy forgot to recognize Ava DuVernay, I believe, for directing Selma.
Yeah, that was a huge snub.
Oh, my goodness. It was one of my favorite films of the year. We had never seen Martin Luther King so personalized. You know, it really felt like you knew the person behind all the greatness. She actually casted, his name is David Aiello as Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. And I was researching, because I love getting lists, you know, here. So I looked up what else Ava has done. And she actually directed a film called Middle of Nowhere. In 2012.
I think I saw that, yeah.
And I have not seen it, so I'm giving myself homework. It is streaming on Netflix. I looked it up. Middle of Nowhere. So I want to see what else Ava did. But if you haven't seen Selma, I mean, talk about a movie that was so right for the time. We were going through all this racial problems in Ferguson, and it was just such a timely movie and the right time. And it seemed like the Academy more or less just, you know...
They got to get it
her.
Together.
It was snubbed on all aspects of the movie, which was a shame.
It was. Yeah. It was. Right. I remember it's got to be in my top five that year of films.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking. So, yeah, crazy. That is my number three, Selma.
All right. So that brings us to my number three. And when you talk about Penelope Spheeris, there's a bunch of movies you could pick. I mean, she did Wayne's World. She did Black Sheep, two of my favorites.
Black Sheep.
I like her original documentary. She did some work before it, but I think she's maybe arguably best known for The Decline of Western Civilization. And I'm a big punk rocker from back in the day, so this movie is one that, I had, and it was like required viewing for punks. You know, you had to watch this movie. It's the LA punk scene in the early 80s. The Germs, The Circle Jerks, X, a bunch of other really cool bands. I think Black Flag is in there. I haven't seen it in a long time, but she's made sequels since then. She's a fantastic, phenomenal director. I love her.
But she made Black Sheep.
You don't like Black Sheep?
No.
I mean, it's no Tommy Boy, but it's still good.
Exactly. I don't know about that.
Really?
Yeah. Jeez, I thought that was a total miss.
Yeah. You're going to love Money Monster.
It requires repeated viewings.
Oh, does it?
To appreciate.
Like a Wes Anderson, like a fine Wes Anderson.
Can we agree on Wayne's World at least?
Yes. Yeah. Love Wayne's World, no doubt. Yeah. All right. We swing it over to Carrie. What do you got sitting at number two?
I have The Hurt Locker by Kathryn Bigelow.
Deservedly.
Amazing. Amazing film. Like, it's hard to stomach. I find it difficult to find words to describe the emotional journey that you go through with the visuals of the movie, the storyline, war.
Yeah.
It's all very hard to stomach.
And talk about a tense movie.
Intense.
My goodness. I remember my palms sweating in the theater watching as Jeremy Renner is trying to defuse a bomb or, you know, do this kind of crazy stuff. And that really gave us Jeremy Renner. He wasn't on my map up until The Hurt Locker came out. And now he's, you know.
Well, the thing about that movie is the intensity of it doesn't stop. The entire movie, it starts at the very beginning and you're on the edge of your seat. And then in the last 5 minutes of the movie, they go, spoiler alert, he returns to his normal life with his wife and child. And it ends with him returning back to war. Mm-hmm. And that's in the last 5 minutes. You finally relax to just be thrown back into repeating the intensity of it, the adrenaline again. So, I mean, a very, very intense movie.
Yeah. One I'd like to revisit. I've only seen it the one time when I saw it, when it came out in the theater. So definitely going to check that one out. And swings it over to my number two. And I think from our list, we can safely say that Kathryn Bigelow is maybe the best female director, because here she is on my list as well. And it's for a third different movie. We have Point Break, Hurt Locker, and my personal Kathryn Bigelow favorite, Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, I love Zero Dark Thirty.
I just recently rewatched it, and I can't believe how great of an ending it is. Once they get the night vision on, and the helicopter crashes, they had all the details down. Obviously, Jessica Chastain was phenomenal as the lead. You had James Gandolfini pop up there as one of the generals. And
the car bomb scene is the one that stuck with me.
Sure.
You know, when they pull into the base. I don't want to spoil anything. Yeah, it's a great movie.
It is. I mean, again, talk about start to finish. Just a master at work here, Kathryn Bigelow. So glad she did finally break through and win the Academy Award, becoming the first woman, because I think she's so deserving. So
yeah, you know, and tackling a genre that maybe would be unexpected of women, which is also, you know, to her credit.
Yeah, awesome. And let's not forget, she was married to James Cameron. I mean, that's a war right there.
Terrible.
Yeah, we swing it over to Matt. What do you got sitting at number two?
All right, at number two, I didn't know. I will fully admit, this is one that I discovered through doing the research. And as soon as I realized this was directed by a woman, which I didn't know before, one of my favorite movies from 1985, Real Genius.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I love this movie for so many reasons. One of them was not, I admit, because it was directed by a woman, but now it is. Martha Coolidge.
Did not know that.
Right? Yeah. Such a fantastic comedy. Val Kilmer. I think, you know, you could arguably say Top Gun was his peak, but I think it's Real Genius because he's the lead man, or Heat maybe. But
are you the Saint? I really love the Saint.
Yeah.
That's a guilty pleasure, though, the
it
Saint,
is
right?
So guilty.
I mean, college geniuses whose work gets co-opted by the government to create weapons, but they fight back and there's a giant popcorn explosion at the end.
I always liked that he used ice to get into the vending machine in the movie. Do you remember? He would actually cut like a tube of ice, and then he would cut it in the perfect width of a quarter, and he would put the ice in. It would work in the vending machine. It was brilliant.
Do you remember the scene where he's rolling quarters down his knuckles? Have you ever seen me do that?
Yeah.
I learned it because of that scene. Oh, yeah.
You and that Val Kilmer.
Big influence.
Yeah. You go into Matt's house, all he's got is posters of Val Kilmer without a shirt on. Well, I've seen him.
That and Elijah Wood.
Oh, I love the callback to Elijah Wood. Good stuff. All right. Here it is. This is the big one. Number one. Carrie, what do you got?
Okay. So I'm stealing from earlier, but my number one was A League of Their Own because we're going with Chicago and Penny Marshall. So... we have a Chicago choreographer, Lou Conti. He started the Hubbard Street Dance, and it was filmed at Wrigley Field. It's based around the baseball teams, girls' baseball, women's baseball teams in Chicago, and my home team of the South Bend Blue Sox. So
nice. Yeah, it really worked not only as a comedy, I think, but it actually worked as a sports movie where you were excited for the ending of that film. You didn't know who was going to win, how it was all going to play out. So even just as a sports movie, I loved it.
We haven't mentioned Gina Davis. Was she the weak link in this film?
No. I don't think so.
Okay,
she was wonderful. Yeah.
In fact, I agree.
I don't know the actress's name who played her sister. Do you?
She went on to play Tank Girl. That I can tell you.
All right. Throw that in the job box. All right, Elias. All right. Swings it over to my number one. And me and Carrie are just basically swapping picks here because this was mentioned earlier. And it is by far, when we came up with the list, I wrote this one down, immediately knew it was my number one. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And it is directed by Sofia Coppola. I'm talking about the modern masterpiece, 2003's Lost in Translation. It's tough to say you've directed Bill Murray in his best role, but that's exactly what I think Sofia Coppola did.
She directed Ghostbusters?
No, please, Matthew.
It's Groundhog's Day.
And would have also accepted that answer.
And really quick, one thing that I really remember about this movie was, this was before we were doing Cinemajaw, obviously, back in 2003. I don't even think I had the title Ride the Movie Guy at the time. And I just saw the preview.
You were yet to be ordained.
Yes. I had just saw the preview and was like, whoa, what is this movie? It sort of like snuck up on me, you know? Yeah. And then I was like, oh, I got to go see it. And it was only playing at like, it was one of these where it was a limited release and they were going to grow it. And it was playing over there at the Century Cinema on Diversey. I get there and it's sold out. You know, it's like
it's
packed, can't go. So I buy tickets for the next one. That one sells out. So it's like every seat in the place is jammed. And I think that really helped that final scene in the movie where you have Scarlett Johansson, her obviously breakout role here, and Bill Murray have this wonderful moment where he whispers to her and you don't hear what he says to her. And I think being in a crowded theater,
you didn't hear it?
No, I thought that it just enhanced the moment to an even more beautiful moment. I had like a tear in my eye because I remember thinking, that's their moment. This is such a personal movie. Let them have it. I've never felt that way. Like, I don't want to know what he said. He said something so beautiful to her that I can't.
It's like what's in the case
imagine.
In Pulp Fiction.
Right. Yeah. It was beautiful. I loved, love, love Lost in Translation. So,
all right.
That's my number one, Matt.
Well,
I hate when we leave you last. You know that because you never know what's going to come out as your number one.
All right.
I'm nervous. Let me get the buzzer.
It's Grease 2. Directed by a woman. No, I think you were wrong earlier. While I love Kathryn Bigelow, and she's definitely somebody we can look forward to a lot of great work from in the future, I think the best female director is Penny Marshall. And my pick is 1988's Big.
Ah. I love it. I love it.
Is Big not a perfect movie?
It's a perfect movie.
It's a perfect movie. There's nothing wrong with Big. It is a flawless film and one of my favorites.
I don't get it.
And I know it's one of yours. Yeah. I don't get it.
I don't get it. Yeah, I always comment, too, what a magical moment that is in the toy shop with the piano.
Yeah, it's classic.
Yeah, it's shot perfectly. Yeah, Penny Marshall. I actually, when I pulled her up to see everything that she had directed, I was between A League of Their Own and Big. I mean, both of them are just beloved.
Heavy hitter.
Yeah. A couple of honorable mentions that I couldn't quite squeeze on the list should be mentioned because I know how much you love Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, well done.
And also Clueless, which I absolutely adore.
Yes.
Amy Heckerling, who did both those films, needs to be mentioned. That was my only honorable that was not.
I got one. Mariel Heller for last year's Diary of a Teenage Girl.
Oh, that was great.
Yeah, good movie.
Yeah, really did
great
like that
graphic
one.
Novel. Great adaptation of it.
Mm-hmm. Any honorables for you, Carrie?
No, I didn't put any on my list. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I
That's
should
fine.
Be able to think of them off the top of my head. I'm sorry that I'm...
All good.
Failure in that.
Yeah, if we missed your favorite film directed by a woman, shoot us a tweet at Cinemajaw. We will retweet it and get the discussion going. What we're going to do is we are going to take a break, and when we come back, a cinema war looking at Julia Roberts. Is she overrated or not? Plus, money movie trivia. We'll be right back on Cinemajaw.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Pat, what are you doing? Trying to advertise the 80-20 movie show presented by FatherhoodRules.com on a competitor's podcast?
Gary, just chill out. Nothing wrong with getting our name out there, especially when their show is just as good as ours. Did you know they're sponsored by one of our favorite trivia games?
You don't know Jack. See what I did there?
No reason we can't share audiences. Our premise is a little different, as we only review movies rated 80% or higher or 20% or lower from Rotten Tomatoes.
You can find the 80-20 Movie Show on your preferred podcasting platform, or you can download it directly from fatherhoodrules.com.
Go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
And we are back on CinemaJaw, hanging out with Carrie Hunter, president of Women in Film Chicago. If I threw a question out at you, exactly how many people are involved, are members of Women in Film Chicago, would you have an answer, roughly?
We have roughly 250 members at this current juncture.
250, man.
That's a lot of members.
If I was a female, I'd be a member.
Well, actually, that's a good question too. Is it all women, or can men join the organization as well?
Men and companies can join the organization as well. Corporations. So
you can, right?
All right. Well, look into it. We're IFP members. We're always helping the community out here.
Yeah, we don't discourage men from being members at all. We want a well-rounded voice in the plight of women in the industry, and we can't just have that with women talking to each other. We have to have the male opinion as well.
Cool.
Yeah. And again, for the listeners listening to this that want to find out more information online, the best place to do so is
WIFChicago.net. Look us up, WIFChicago.net.
Definitely. Great organization here in Chicago.
It is.
And elsewhere, as you mentioned, there's something like 27 chapters of women in film. So it's quite
right.
a few.
Right.
Yeah.
International organization, we've got 37.
37. Okay.
Chapters.
Wow.
So. That's far.
Yeah, check out Women in Film and see if they got something going on in your city.
Yeah, and if they don't, hey, start it.
Yes.
Yeah, if you want to look us up on Facebook, we're Women in Film Chicago on Facebook.
This could be like a new Rotary Club, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, Matt, before we get to trivia, before we get to Cinema War, we did throw a few items into the jaw box. And I know, Elias, he likes Women in Film. Let's open up that jaw box.
What's your pleasure, Mr. Cotton?
The box.
We got a box! Oh, what's in the box?
How's it going, guys?
What? Why are you looking at me?
I wanted to pitch. So Matt is a huge proponent for the Marvel superhero She-Hulk, and she hasn't gotten her due yet. I'm writing a script, so I should reach out for a woman director is what I'm realizing.
You should.
I should.
Hell yeah. She-Hulk.
Definitely.
The most ridiculous character.
One of the most brilliant characters in all of comic books, by the way. So fantastically
sexy,
written.
Sexy and green.
That's right.
Here we go.
There's nothing you can go wrong with that.
Let's see. Let's jump into these questions. So what else has Kimberly Pierce directed? Let's see. There's Stop Loss in 2008.
Saw that. Okay.
And very apropos here, Carrie in 2013.
Actually a decent remake. I don't think that film needed to be remade, but it was a good effort.
Yeah,
it's been remade more than once.
Yeah, I didn't see the remake, so I don't know.
I didn't see it either.
It's good. What's her name? Oh, God.
Chloe
Grace Moretz is awesome, but...
Julianne Moore?
Thank you. Julianne Moore plays her mom, which is a character that wasn't really explored in the other versions of this film, and she turns in a really good performance.
Maybe I'll spin it around Halloween.
It's kind of worth it.
All right, the second and last question was, what was the actress who plays Gina Davis's sister in A League of Their Own named? And that's Lori Petty, who was also in Point Break.
Hey, see how that works?
Yes, and more importantly, Free Willy.
Way more important.
Oh, Free Willy.
That's the one I've seen. I haven't seen Point Break.
You haven't seen Point Break?
No.
Get off this podcast.
I'm too busy writing my She-Hulk script.
She-Hulk. Anything else?
No, that's about it. Oh, but we do have feedback.
Oh, yeah. We threw the Twitter out, right?
Yes.
Favorite Jodie Foster film. Let's hear what they said.
Yes. At Talkie Gazette said, Contact. An epic story of discovery and faith. I was on the edge of my seat from the fantastic opening shot until the end.
Oh, I remember. In fact, we've done a podcast on our favorite movie openings.
Mm-hmm.
And Contact, I think, was my number one. It starts out with the noise of the planet and just goes back and back and back through the galaxies. It's absolutely incredible.
I thought it was going to be a guy spinning a propeller and yelling, "Contact!"
Oh, man, are these jokes lame.
I was actually let down as a kid because I just wanted to see an alien movie, and that was not it at all.
Absolutely,
I was so bummed. Let's see. Darth G007 says, "It better be Silence of the Lamb or it gets the hose again."
Yes, Silence of the Lambs.
Well
mean,
said.
You really can't go wrong with that. No. It does need to be mentioned.
At Bronson_Carl says, "Inside Man, she's straight up ruthless."
Wow, that's an odd pick. That was directed by Spike Lee, actually.
Inside Man, that's what Russell Crowe or...
No, that's The Insider.
Okay.
Inside Man's like a bank robbery movie, and the guy's actually already in the bank, you know, kind of deal.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
Yeah.
Amy Kath Willis says, "Candleshoe, very charming, first Jodie Foster film I had ever seen."
I do not know Candleshoe.
Neither do I.
Throw it in the late jaw box. See when that thing came out, will you?
All right, we'll do.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yes, I believe that's it.
But I did want to mention Contact. I also read the book. Carl Sagan wrote the book. Different than the movie, equally good. So,
did you get a contact high?
All right, Elias, get back in the jaw box.
All right, wait, I do have the year.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
1977.
Ooh, 77.
Oh, great year.
There you go. Deep cut. All right, get back in the jaw box now.
Okay,
all
sure.
Matt, it brings us to a segment called
Cinema War.
Cinema War works like this. Me and Matt battle on a topic each week, and our guest this week, Carrie Hunter, gets to play judge and jury and tell the listeners who she thinks won the Cinema War. It's important, too, here, Matt, because we're fighting for 20 seconds of jaw time to rant and rave on whatever we want. Julia Roberts is in Money Monster that only got one interested here on the show. Heck, Elias, tell the jawheads at home what today's Cinema War topic is.
Today's Cinema War topic: is Julia Roberts a good actress or extremely overrated? Matt, you'll be fighting that she is a good actress. Rye, you'll be fighting that she is overrated. Let this pretty woman Cinema War begin.
Matt, I rewatched Erin Brockovich about a year ago. It ranks up there with Sandra Bullock's Oscar win for The Blind Side as one of the most overrated acting performance in the history of time. It is even worse to know that she beat out Ellen Burstyn for Requiem for a Dream that year. Disgusting.
Ryan, Julia Roberts is a national treasure. Let's not forget, she was America's sweetheart. I think they coined that term just for her. I should win this argument on Pretty Woman alone. But let's not forget many of her other acting credits. Erin Brockovich, you mentioned, Mystic Pizza, My Best Friend's Wedding, and let's not forget Runaway Bride.
Matt, I don't know another actress alive that has lived off of one movie, Pretty Woman, in this case, as much as Horseface Roberts. Besides that one film, I can't think of a performance of her that was really notable.
Wow. Right, look, the fact of the matter is Julia Roberts is an Oscar-winning actress, and she's been nominated 4 times, taking it home in Erin Brockovich, and as a matter of fact, she has the greatest smile in all of Hollywood.
You gotta be kidding me, buddy. Eat, love, pray with Julia Roberts? No thanks. She was just in The Secret in Their Eyes, which was a remake of a wonderful Spanish film that I reviewed here on CinemaJaw. And the reason this remake was panned by critics everywhere, including myself, was because Roberts can't act, nor is she believable in her role.
Let's do some stats. Julia Roberts' films have brought in $2.6 billion worldwide box office receipts. That's billion with a B. She's also been named one of the 50 most beautiful people in the world by People magazine. And in fact, she's tied with Halle Berry. She's a knockout and an extreme talent. Yes, she's an amazing actress.
Matt, I've told you once, I'll tell you again. The masses are asses. And America's sweetheart, my ass, all right? She is an overactor who can't act. That really stinks. She has an annoying laugh and a vein that pops out of her forehead that looks like it's going to bust in any second. She can even get me to hate a Tom Hanks movie, believe it or not. See Larry Crown for that. A look at her filmography proves she is terrible. My Best Friend's Wedding, Runaway Bride, Mona Lisa Smile. No one's smiling about overrated Julia Roberts.
All right, Rye. The only thing overrated in this argument is your use of the definition of the word overrated. Julia Roberts is a screen icon. Her face is painted on movie theaters across the globe. She will always be a part of our cinematic history, and deservedly so. So she's a great actress. Just because you don't like her doesn't change that fact.
We are button heads here on Cinema World like we always do. I think the worst thing, I just thought of it, could be if they did make a She-Hulk movie and they casted Julia Roberts. Oh, my goodness. I would probably hang myself in my garage.
Oh, my God.
I don't have rope and I don't have a garage, so we're okay. We throw it over to Carrie, our guest, our jury this week. Carrie, what did you think of this Cinema War?
You're both very passionate about your choices.
Of course.
I don't know. I gotta say that a Julia Roberts movie, Sleeping with the Enemy, was one movie that I snuck into illegally. Probably shouldn't brag about that.
Shocking.
With my president
of Women in Film. Listen to this.
In Milwaukee, her mom was to come to pick us up, and we were like, "Let's go to another movie." And we saw Sleeping with the Enemy, which was way above our age. For the time, and I loved her in it. I loved Pretty Woman. I loved her in Hook. I don't know that we can argue that her looks are a reason to hate her acting chops. I don't know.
Sounds like she's siding with Matt here, I think.
Yeah, I think I might be.
Is that a win for me?
That's a win for you.
All right.
That's terrible.
No, this was a foregone conclusion, man.
I hate losing Cinema Wars, and I hate when I lose over Julia Roberts.
All right.
This just put me down in the dumps.
Well, Rye, that earns me 20 seconds to rant and rave about whatever I want. And this week's message is going out to George Clooney, because I know he listens every week, religiously. George Clooney, stop being George Clooney in the movies. I loved him in Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, and there's a few other roles I could point to where he's not George Clooney. Money Monster looks like George Clooney, and even the great movie Gravity, it was George Clooney. Stop being George Clooney. Act.
Wow. That was good, Matt.
There you go.
Yeah, that's very passionate
about
that. That's
my 20 seconds.
Yeah. Can't throw him in the love with Elijah Wood, huh? Jeez.
No, I love George Clooney, but man. Just stop being yourself up there.
All right.
Try some characters.
Good stuff. We are playing trivia this week, as we do every week on Cinema Jaw, because Money Monster is coming out. The category is money movies. Think of movies that have money in the title. Carrie, it works like this. You're our guest. You get to choose if you want to go first or let Matt go first. There are steals, and if you get hung up on a question, you get one trip to the ER. Elias Rodriguez has clues to all the questions. They start out easy.
All right, I'll go first.
All right. Question number one over to Carrie. In 2011, Brad Pitt and Jonah Hill starred in this baseball movie.
Oh, damn it. I was going to say, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to swear.
Damn, it's okay.
I was going to say that baseball movie.
We are playing money movie trivia.
Moneyball.
1-0, Carrie. Moneyball was the correct answer. Question number two over to Matt Kay. Matt, in 1986, Tom Cruise starred as a pool shark taught by Fast Eddie Felsen in the film The Color of Money.
Damn it, that was going to be my answer.
Who played Fast Eddie in the film?
Oh, not. It was Paul Newman. I almost said Robert Redford.
No, boy, that would have been a mistake. Yeah. Blasphemy. 1-1. We got a ball game here. Carrie looks very nervous. I think she's going to do fine here.
This is confidence.
Question three over to Carrie. In 1986, Tom Hanks starred in The Money Pit alongside this actress. Name her.
Is it Gina Davis? Oh! Is it a? Can I get two more? Do I get more guesses?
I'll give you one more guess.
One more guess.
She's blonde.
Ooh.
Am I right?
You're getting nothing out of me. This is my poker face.
Poker face.
I'm your competitor.
Who can I look at that doesn't have a poker face?
Phil. Yeah.
Is she blonde?
He's probably never seen the movie.
Crap.
1986 was before he was even born.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any
crap, I don't have another guess unless I have a hint.
Nope. Matt, guys, you got a chance for a steal and to take
a lead. I'm sorry, I know this one from Cheers. It was Cybill Shepherd, right?
Oh, No.
Wrong.
No, that's
Sybil
not right.
Shepherd and Cheers? You idiot.
I blew it.
Shelley Long.
Shelley yeah. Long.
We were looking for Shelley Long.
Wow.
Sybil Shepherd.
Sybil Shepherd was right? on Moonlighting. Yes. I just mixed them up.
Oh, my goodness. All right. It's still only 1-1 here. And question four now is to Matt Kay. Matt, in 2008, the unlikely trio of Diane Keaton, Queen Latifah, and Katie Holmes got together to make this so-called comedy.
What year?
2008. Diane Keaton, Queen Latifah, and Katie Holmes.
Holy crap, I have no idea.
No reason why you would. I don't know who saw this movie.
I don't want to waste my ER just yet, so was this, I don't know, some sort of remake of Three Kings? I have no clue.
Remember, we're playing money movie trivia, not king trivia. We throw it over to Carrie. You got a chance for a steal. Do you know this one?
I have no idea. I have zero idea. The buzzer.
We were looking for Mad Money.
Did you know it?
No, but I just feel bad. It had money in the title, and I should have been able to guess that.
All right. It's still 1-1. Now question five is over to Carrie.
My turn.
In 1992, Damon Wayans, Stacey Dash, and Marlon Wayans starred in a film about a con man working at a credit card company. Name the movie.
How many questions are there in this
Eight.
In this game? Oh,
Eight.
Okay, so.
We're on question five.
How many steals do I get? Or
You get one clue. Oh, you get one clue if you want to waste it here.
But anytime I get one wrong, it goes to you.
Okay, the Wayne brothers and credit cards.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Money movie trivia, 1992.
Money magic?
Matt, you got a chance for a steal and to take the lead.
All right, so it's not Mad Money, not Money Magic. Mo Money? I have no idea.
Really? No way! That's crap!
That was a total guess.
Mo Money. Oh, you haven't seen this masterpiece?
No.
Oh, man. I mean, you can't go wrong with a Damon and Marlon Wayans film.
I think I've heard that title before, so that's why I threw out that guess.
Matt takes the lead. It is 2-1.
Never heard of it.
Wow. Question six now is to Matt Kay. Matt, name the actress who starred in 2012's One for the Money, in which she works as a bail bond company and has to track down a wanted cop that she used to date.
Wait, so she's a bounty hunter?
More or less.
2001?
This one came out in 2012. One for the Money.
I'm going to go to the ER.
Whoa, a trip to the ER. Elias Rodriguez. What was the name of that actress who starred in One for the Money?
Your clue is, worked at a hospital with the always dreamy Patrick Dempsey.
Worked at a hospital with the what?
Always dreamy. Not Elijah Wood.
McDreamy, actually.
Yes.
Which, that's a terrible nickname, by the way. Man, I'm thinking it's... I don't know her name. I can see her face. I don't know her name.
That is incorrect, actually.
It's not I don't know her name?
No. Carrie, I don't know if the clue helped you at all. You got a chance for a steal here.
No.
She starred in One for the Money, and she worked at a hospital with the always dreamy Patrick Dempsey.
Was she in Sideways?
No.
Okay.
You wanted to give your opponent one more clue?
Yes. Thank you. It didn't help me any, though.
Any guess?
No. Bummer. Ooh. Catherine Hagel?
Yes! Ooh, little help, a little assist.
She was in... Catherine Hagel was in... Okay.
Yeah, she was in Grey's Anatomy. With Patrick Dempsey. Obviously, Matt. She ties it up 2-2, last two questions of the game, and she still has her ER. Question seven is over to Carrie. Carrie, in 2005's Matthew McConaughey starred in Two for the Money alongside this actor who plays Walter, a renowned sports gambler.
Man, I love Matthew McConaughey.
McConaughey and who in Two for the Money? You do have a trip to the ER.
I need to go there.
Whoa, a trip to the ER, Elias Rodriguez. Who starred with Matthew McConaughey?
Your clue is this film ranks up there with the actor's other great works such as Godfather, Scarface, and Heat.
Al Pacino? Don't tell me. Oh, really? Yes. Yes, that's good. Awesome.
Nice clue. Thank Elias.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It is 3-2. We got an upset going on here. Matt, it's upset city. Last question of the game. You can tie it and force a jawbreaker or lose to Carrie.
Okay.
Carrie.
Go, Carrie. Yeah, I'm chanting.
Last question, Matt. And I love throwing a Woody Allen in there.
Oh, Jesus.
In 1969, the great Woody Allen played Virgil Starkwell, an inept bank robber in this classic comedy. Name it.
1969.
Woody Allen, inept bank robber. Name the film.
Oh, man.
One of my favorite Woodies.
For the Love of Money.
Wow, it is already over. You do get a chance if you've got a guess. Do you have a guess at all, Carrie? You're winning 3-2, so you've won this game.
The guy puts a movie out every year.
Yeah, this was 1969.
Way before I was born.
Bank robber.
I'm so bad at this. I need like a bigger clue. Money Misters.
Not bad. Not bad guess. We were looking for Take the Money and Run.
Didn't you say that earlier?
No, I don't think so. But I should have just gone for like cliche like phrases of money.
And I do recommend this one to the listeners. This is back in his like screwball comedy days. And a wonderful scene in here where he goes to rob a bank and he basically tries to just do a note to the teller. And basically the teller can't read his handwriting. It's hysterical. So instead of gun, they think he's got gum in his pocket. And it's just, and then while he's doing that, the bank really does get robbed. It's hilarious.
And hilarity ensued.
Yes. Yeah. All right, Carrie, you won this one. 3-2. Can we get a handshake?
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, we always do have a jawbreaker in case it comes down to a tie. Mm-hmm. This question would have been over to Carrie. Which actor should be on the $100 bill? Matthew McConaughey or Nick Cage?
Oh, Nick Cage probably needs it the most. Matthew McConaughey. No, what? How's that wrong?
It should be Nick Cage. Wouldn't it be great if Nick Cage was on our $100 bill?
I'm not sure about that.
That was just a joke. Here's the real jawbreaker. Age of Diane Keaton closest to, Matt, you got a guess?
Oh, man. 63 years old.
Lock him in at 63. Yeah. Got a guess there, Carrie?
I'm going to go with 76.
Got to pull out my calculator here. She is 70 years old.
Oh!
We'll give that to Carrie, actually.
Oh, my God. That's so amazing.
that was close, though.
Yeah, it was. Wow.
How old is she?
70.
70 on the nose?
Yeah, 70. Wow.
She's great.
She looks fantastic. I mean, and still working, and awesome. I'm a big fan.
Big fan, too.
So.
No doubt.
Yeah, boy, oh boy, brings us to the end of a wonderful Cinema Jaw. First and foremost, we got to thank our guest. Carrie, thanks so much for coming on Cinema Jaw.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
We also got to thank our sponsors.
Thanks to all the sponsors, and thanks to the Chicago Podcast Co-op who helps hook us up with some of those sponsors.
We also got to thank the best engineer in the biz, Elias Rodriguez.
Thank you guys, and Jawheads, I am still on my film festival tour with my short Think Twice that Rye the Movie Guy co-produced. This weekend, I will be in Orlando, Florida and Aurora, Illinois for two different film fests. Go to facebook.com/thinktwicefilm. And also, there's a rumor that Rye the Movie Guy may join me. So if you're in Orlando.
Yeah, might have a little free time coming up. All right. If you enjoyed this episode of Cinema Jaw, please subscribe to us on iTunes. If you already do subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a review. They all help attract new listeners.
Yeah, and go on our Facebook page and give us a like. And also, feel free to send us some feedback at feedback@cinemajaw.com.
And we know you like pictures. We're on Instagram, where we post a lot of pictures, at Cinemajaw.
Twitter as well, Matt, at Cinemajaw on Twitter, where we tweet all throughout the week fun and interesting movie tidbits. We're at Cinemajaw everywhere on social media.
How about that?
It's awesome. Until next week, I'm Ryan the Movie Guy.
I'm Matt Kay.
And keep on jawing about the movies.